Wade McWayne here for Scrotus POTUS. We got a great episode. We've got Scott Capurro, comedian from America, and Mike Wilmot, a comedian from Canada. We're talking all things Trump this week. How is he doing? What's the state of the union? How's Ivanka looking? What's going on with Cuba? Caesar, the play, should they be doing it? And is it against Trump? Lots of good stories from Scott and Mike as well. Tune in, enjoy, and subscribe. Oh, hey, it's podcast time. Scrotus POTUS, episode 3. Very lovely guests, returning guests, and a new guest. We've got returning Scott Capurro and Mike Wilmot.
Hello, Scott, how are you?
Scott from America and Mike from Canada.
America.
And of course, we always start the podcast by I read you out the Trump tweet generator, and it's like we put your name in. Scott Capurro, low-caste slob who came to my office looking for consulting work, and I had zero interest. Total lightweight, Mike Wilmot.
Total lightweight?
Total lightweight.
I have no idea what any of that means. Idea what the fuck that means.
Yeah, you're lightweight.
You're talking to a farmer.
It's a little
am I a lightweight?
It's a fun game to play.
Yeah. So we're talking State of the Union. Mike, you haven't been on this. What do you think? You've been in England here for a while.
Yeah, for the last almost 4 months.
And so you haven't been back to see what's going on in America. You watching the news?
You have to. You're forced to. You get it all on the computer whether you want it. I don't want it. But I'm getting it.
Are you getting Facebook opinions or actual
I'm getting... fuck Facebook. I can't watch or listen to any of that stuff.
I read Facebook because all the news is so good. Everyone's doing really, really well.
They're really smart.
Yeah, all the comics seem to be doing great.
Great. They're all on tour. They're all fantastic. They're all having kids. It seems... Yeah.
Grandkids. I'm guilty of that. I just send out grandchildren pictures. Like, I'm boring people on a bigger level.
You have grandkids?
I have grandkids. Jesus I have a granddaughter Christ. And a grandson in October.
Do you need to lay down for a minute?
I need to lay down.
Yeah, that's it. You're
lay
done.
Down.
You finished.
I'm finished. It's lovely. They're so cute, you forget you're dying.
On Game of Thrones, you would have been dead 10 years ago.
Is that what? Yeah,
well, because
show,
you're old. Or, everyone's so young in it because people die at 40 there. That's it. That's it.
In those days.
What days are they?
This is the 2000s. It's a show. It's a show, Scott.
Right.
It's not real.
There's
dragons and shit in it. That's how you tell. Can I swear?
No, you're fucking right.
Okay. I went through all of this. I feel as though I went through all of what I'm going through now on a very smaller level with Rob Ford, the former
Toronto mayor,
crack smoking Toronto mayor.
Yeah. Do you think
who
he's
is
the
Trump?
Donald Trump?
Yeah. He is, of course. He Trump could have been, or Ford could have been president if he just stayed away from drugs. So that's a message to all the kids. If you want to be a really successful xenophobe, racist, homophobic, then stay off the crack.
And cancer. Obviously
cancer.
The crack sort of, you know.
Oh, that's right. That fat cunt's dead, right?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, good. Good to know. Yeah.
But his brother is his brother could be the next mayor.
No.
His brother's tied for approval rating in Toronto, but that's a Toronto thing.
Toronto is
it's a funny place.
But speaking of approval
it's a
ratings,
microcosm.
Donald Trump 50% approval rating. He's saying he's doing better than Obama was. 50%, is that something to celebrate? You know, that's
well.
Where are they going to ask?
South Dakota. One thing he is doing is what he said he would do. So he's trying to dismantle the legacy of the Obama generation. So he's doing that, right? Mm-hmm. He's dismantling environmental policies. He's tearing apart diplomatic relationships that took 8, 10, 20 years to build. He's doing his best to wreck
Do you think that that's all out of spite, or do you think that there actually is some policy behind it? Do you think he really just wants
Did
to...
Did you see that speech that Obama made before the press corps
when he
made fun of him?
When he wanted to become
and
president,
the look
right
on,
there.
The look on Trump's face. I think it is out of spite. Yeah. I also think that Trump is racist. He has... Well, his rental policies in New York for decades, everyone knew he hated black people. I just think
his
hated
being... His father was a KKK member.
He was, or a sympathizer. I think that he hated being told what to do by an administration identified as black.
Okay.
So I think he's
You really think it's not...
Taking
it's not,
it back.
It's a personal racist thing.
I think he was mocked by a black man. Yeah, how can it. A black man... I am Donald fucking Trump.
I also think he's a populist, which has made him a bit of a sociopath. I mean, his moods change by the day, yeah. And I think that he sees something he doesn't like, and he just thinks, you know, can we nuke it? Can we just nuke that?
You don't think that it's actually... Because this is a guy who came in not to drain the swamp. He came in to sort of take...
He is the swamp!
But you've got this guy...
Where does he get off thinking he's not an elite?
He's Wall Street. He's the swamp. He's it.
But this is a guy who said he was going to tackle the Wall Street and hasn't. And Comey was the guy... Obama did nothing on Wall Street.
Right.
And Obama did nothing to get rid of all that problems on Wall Street. So... I mean, I don't know. I think it's a little too early to tell, but to call him, I don't know, a racist or a spiteful racist could be really kind of hard.
What they need to do is go back and reverse some of Clinton's policies, because he deregulated Wall Street, which led to some of the problems in the stock market. So what needs to happen is a president with real, real guts needs to step in, and economic, you know, knowledge that he can fix things.
Isn't there a young Kennedy on the horizon?
Yeah, but you know.
No, I don't think so. I think
the
he's
thing is that they're
the
all connected. It's like here, they all went to school together. They all know each other. So when they pretend that it's an argument or a fight, it really isn't.
And whenever they're cornered, they always say, it's politics. It's just like when someone says, it's business after, you know,
right.
killing off somebody.
Or they disappear, like here after Brexit. They just poof, disappear.
Well, no one wants to be aligned with that. But it's also America has the same sort of class politics. I mean, a lot of these people go to the same universities.
I think they're more severe in the U.S. I think it's more camouflage in the U.S. than here.
It's totally more camouflage. The class system, at least, is quite open here.
There's no valid third party in America. Like, even NDP, even as goofy as the NDP is, it's still a valid party.
It's a valid party because it's a socialist party, but there's no real socialist party in America. There's no real party that sort of, in Canada, where we go NDP, this is socialist, and socialists have come into power, including Alberta, where they've, you know, Canada has some of the most female premiers,
more
than any of them.
The most booby.
But there's no socialist parties.
Yeah, we don't drink tea in America. I think there are different levels of the Democratic Party, though. They're conflicting. Which is part of the problem.
Well, there is the right is. Like you've got
Tea Party and, you know.
The small C conservatives. I love the small C.
And the Log Cabin Republicans. They're gay Republicans. They are called the Log Cabin Republicans. And
that's,
they tend to be
beautiful.
A bit more left wing of the right wing Republicans. I think they're, when you're speaking more about parties in the U.S., I think it's more of a left right wing thing than Democrat Republicans.
I've always been to believe that the Democrats in America are still more right than our right-wing parties.
Oh, they tend to be. Except
because we still believe in socialized medicine. I think Governor
Brown in California has moved pretty far left. I think it's really benefited him. I think the economy is doing well there. I think it gives people a bit of confidence to think that there might be a safety net.
And there's marijuana stores. That's how I look. I'll move to any place that has marijuana store.
Well, there's a lot here. I don't know why they have it illegal. It's ridiculous.
I know.
It's
so expensive.
Because then you gotta get that zombie spice for a lot cheaper. Right. You want the illegal stuff that really fries your brain up.
Oh God!
California though, do you find that there's sort of, I mean, California is all a state almost to its own nation. Mm. Do you find that there's a feeling in California like fuck it, we can do this on our own?
Well, they are now. I think you know. I'm sure this is boring for most people, but the way the country is set up is the states are meant to have equal power to the federal government. So the state of California has. Taken over some of the roles the federal government was meant to play in the realms of unemployment and environmental policies, just to name two. Mm-hmm. So I think they have enough money to back themselves, what you're asking. Yes. If you got enough cash, do what you want.
Now, the problem also, we talk about marijuana places, the problem that marijuana is not legal, it's not recognized by the federal government. So people who want to get a dispensary have to do everything in cash.
They do.
And you're also not eligible for, say, hiring people on, so you've got someone under federal programs, say someone who's got maternity leave or you want to apply for tax credits. Those people are not eligible to do it because the federal government, although the state says you can do it, the federal government says
It's a problem in California because people are worried that because Trump's furious with the state of California, that they'll send in armed
so that is
troops
true.
To raid the dispensaries.
I was doing that club in Denver.
About Colorado.
Comedy bar.
But I'm just saying, I'm assuming it's the same there.
Yeah.
They were saying
easier to take
the
over.
The pot store in Denver, the guy was saying that even though it is legal in Colorado, that the feds could still close them down. And they were worried.
But the reason they probably won't is because of the tax dollars.
It's billions,
so much.
Billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And the buses are leaving on time. The trains are landing fine. And you can't. You know, there's a few people. My son ate a pot cookie and went crazy for an hour.
He
laid down for an hour.
He hallucinated.
In the daytime.
He was happy. I think that, you know, it's so strange to me that people are worried about the dangers of marijuana when all my friends in California, they're all medicated. And they lie to you about it. And then they reveal it at some point that how medicated they are and how dangerous they are to themselves and other people. I mean, the amount of pills my yoga lady friends take. Pills to go. It's Judy Garland. Pills to go to sleep. Pills to wake up. Pills to fuck. Pills to do everything. Pills to walk the dog. It's insurmountable the amount of drugs that they consume. And then Edson, my husband, rolls a joint on their deck of their $4 billion Victoria. Drawing back in horror at the joint he's rolling. Yeah. And then they smoke some of it.
Of course.
Yeah. But at first.
All the rock stars say no matter what, their lives went downhill as soon as they touched pills. Keep the natural stuff fine. You get to the pills, it's all messed up.
My friend of mine grew one in her backyard. Kate Davis grew one in her backyard.
You're just
going to
add her on the podcast. She grew pills.
She grew a pot plant in her backyard. She got all paranoid as fuck because it went over the fence.
Yeah.
But she got at one plant 9 ounces of weed. That's why it's illegal. Because
it grows like a weed.
Then you get some, and they're fucked for taxes.
Yeah. You know, a friend of mine in California, his niece had contracted cancer, so he started his own pot farm to grow her what she needed and to make sure it was pure and all that. And he showed us, and then it became kind of a hobby. He doesn't smoke it, but he showed us photos, and my husband just started drooling at the Polaroids. I mean, half of his house, side of his house, is just these long bushes that hang from the ceiling of these amazing green. And she said, Kapoor, I could almost smell the photo. Kapoor, scratch and sniff. And so he loves this guy now. This guy's like his best friend. I mean, because pot people, if you smoke a bit of weed with them, that's it. That's why people go along so well in Holland. Everybody's high.
Yeah. And it doesn't, there's no, you don't wake up the next day full of regret like everything else.
Yes.
Everything. Booze, cocaine, everything
funny,
else,
when I
regret.
For, I was just an assistant to the head of neurology for San Francisco General Hospital for years when I started a day job. And people would come in and the most destructive thing is booze to your central nervous system. And they would lie and lie about the amount of booze they drank until he got it out of them. But I said, what about pot? And he said, it doesn't really, there's no proof that it does anything bad to you.
Well, it's about the NHS here. I mean, you just see the most of the cases when you have the A&E is used for alcohol.
Yeah.
People that repeat alcoholics.
I went to your house yesterday, not because of marijuana.
Okay.
But you're not an alcoholic, Mike.
No, you're a boozer.
I'm
just impressed you're able to find the place. So I think that was
Derek Edwards, another boozer, my best friend back home in Canada. We always say, is everything paid for? your teeth are fixed, okay, and everyone's good, the rent's paid. Okay, I'm going to go get smashed at the cabin.
because pot is going to be, they're legalizing it in Canada next year.
Yeah.
So, and then you wonder if all these states are starting to do it, you start to see the money. Is Britain, other republics are doing it. Portugal, owner of Britain, is going to be next in one of these.
Who's the country that legalized everything? Said, fuck it, let's just legalize it.
Portugal was pretty progressive.
Yeah, they're pretty.
And Uruguay as well.
Where I heard, crime is down, 90%. Like, something
insane. They had a massive methamphetamine problem. And I think there was also a pill problem. And part of the reason was trying to legalize this was that you're getting meth for, way cheaper than pot. And people are just doing that. You'd rather have people smoking pot because, as you said, it's not the same sort of rate of addiction that you're going
right.
to have.
Right. But if you make it legal and you make kit, if you want to do it, you don't do it in some alleyway, where it's cool to do it.
Mm.
You have to go to some government. But that's what's going to kill drugs in the negative part of it. It's open up heroin places where they can get in Vancouver now, where you get proper heroin. I don't think they would be so cool. You're not going to get it at the, some New York cool club. You're going to get it in some horrible, stark government office.
I've seen that film a lot of people have on Netflix where it talks about these mothers dealing with the addiction of their children on things like heroin. And part of the reason they get on it isn't because it's a painkiller doctors give them. A lot of them are athletes when they're younger. And they're given a bit of morphine to get over pain, and then they get addicted so quickly.
Mm-hmm. It's all the veterans, the Second World War.
Yeah, exactly.
They had to go to heroin. Yeah.
But that's the thing, too. I've also seen those documentaries on Netflix about how crystal meth just destroys communities in the U.S., where these people used to be pot growers, which was fine because pot doesn't make people paranoid and terrifying. They got into crystal meth because they could make a lot more money on
it
and make it themselves in a room. And suddenly they're on it and they're killing their families and no one talks to each other and people are dying at the age of 19. It's just a horrible, horrible. So if you legalize it, that kind of fear and that sort of self-inflicted harm goes away, which is good, right?
Is it true that they would give somehow it's the same stuff to the German soldiers in the Second World
War? That's why they created it. So you keep people awake.
So it was crystal. Created.
That
was almost like a science fiction-y when I heard that.
Well, they also say that North Korea has an addiction rate of about 95% of the people are addicted to meth.
Really?
Because they're doing it. It's very cheap to make, and they're flooding it to keep them working. And then China's worried because it's spilling all over to them.
All right.
But maybe Dennis Rodman being there can help.
They're skinny.
Thank you, Dennis.
They're so skinny.
Thank God bless you, Dennis Rodman. You mad motherfucker.
Do you think Trump sent him there? Do you think Trump sent Dennis Rodman?
They must know each other from reality.
But Rodman's been going over to China and North Korea for years, hasn't he?
Yeah. But it's only recently, since Trump's been president, he's decided to go over there. And he was on The Apprentice, I think.
Did they get along on that show? I've never seen The Apprentice.
He was fired after Dennis Rodman started breaking down, and he had a breakdown episode where he cried.
Oh.
As he would. But so now Trump, obviously, he's a lot of... Now, here's something, because something no one's really talked about Trump. And I was mentioning it to you last night, but you probably don't remember because you were wasted. But my whole thing and my conspiracy thing, people are talking about all these people that are orchestrating it. No one has failed to recognize the one man who I think is responsible for all of Trump, and that is Mark Burnett. Mark Burnett is the only Trump only follows certain people on Twitter. It's all his family and people he does business with, his golf courses, and Burnett. Burnett has been possibly the most successful television producer. He's orchestrated all the Survivor. He's created.
Is he the younger one?
Burnett. He did Survivor. He does
How
The Apprentice.
Old is he?
He's probably like 48, 40, maybe in 50, something
I'm
like that.
Sure I know
he's married
one
to Roma Downey, which Trump also follows. But no one's. This is a guy whose job it is to create formats. He's here to create television, to create Jeopardy, to create excitement,
he's done
to
it.
Know on the villains. And no one's really mentioned the fact that this guy, who is the most probably influential television producer, is still friends and running things for
him. Fuck, that proves my theory. I was hoping forever when I was a younger man, until just recently, that we'd have a Star Trek future. But now it is Running Man. Now it is Escape from New York. It's Planet of the Apes. It's all those dumb science fiction movies where that won't happen. It's going to happen now, because you know who that is. That's the character from Running Man, like the guy that
the producer of it all.
Yeah, used to be in Hogan's Heroes.
Richard Dawson.
Richard Dawson, like a human, is running the Planet Earth. Fuck, we're fucked. Yeah. We're doomed.
You're saying it's a reality show?
Is that I think that a lot of the Jeopardy, I think that a lot of these things that what's being orchestrated, I think Trump's tweets, I think all of this is part of a greater overreaching campaign of a reality president.
Like the Truman Show or whatever.
Pretty much like the Truman Show, but running as a president.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think you're looking for order in disorder.
I know. What I'm looking for is that no one's really touched on this, and no one's really seen that this is sort of orchestration.
Well, it does seem like a narrative, because every day it changes, right? Every day you wake up and put on Twitter and think, what has that asshole done now?
Yeah, yeah.
And can I write a joke about this, or is it already satire? So every day it seems like there is someone pulling strings somewhere. He can't be that creative.
No. And you can't fight him with satire, so he can't be that.
But then
he can't be that bright.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because a smart person would get the satire around him.
Yeah, yeah.
His fucking fans would get the satire around him. They don't, because they're not bright. That's what makes him dangerous.
Too. I mean, Ivanka is delicious.
Oh yeah.
She's saying she's the innocent one in all this. That she's the only one holding him together, like keeping him sort of mainstream. That's what Ivanka's been saying the last couple of weeks. Like, look toward me for some sort of normalcy.
Oh,
that's
my
what
God.
I'm here for.
Well, a lot of the left is looking towards her because they want to find a way into the presidency.
She's a viper like him. She's worse than he is. She's the one that went to China and got all those copyrights for him. She almost sacrificed her kid. She put her kid before the cameras in China and said, speak Chinese or you're dead. And that little fucker had to sing some song in Chinese. And now the Ivanka kid is like the greatest hero of China because he learned some Chinese words. But one wrong turn and they will feed you to the goats. I swear to God.
Or the Trumps?
Well, that's the thing.
The Chinese Trumps. Right.
Oh, my God. Is that what China? That's what's going to happen?
But Chinese made their own version of the Trumps.
I'd love to see them pronounce his last name.
I like seeing him in front of those Saudi billionaires. Like, he was like just kissing their balls.
He loves real billionaires.
Yeah. Yeah. He is such a, a lowbrow. The billionaires look down at this, what is that, 1.1
billion? That's what the theme for a lot of the New York Times over the last 4 months is, that Trump was dismissed by a lot of the upper class New Yorkers who fucking hate him and still do.
He's a
gangster, real estate gangster, a property developer, quote unquote, whatever that is. He's buried bodies in empty lots, and so a lot of the lower Manhattanites just can't stand it. So this is him getting back at them. This is him proving who's got all the power.
It is a bit of a fuck you presidency. You can see it in his eyes. That sort of
he knows it's over, and he's not going to be. That's going to be suicide for me. I remember
a second. He's going to win another 4 years.
You think he's going to grab another four?
Yeah.
Oh my God, no!
Mark Burnett will orchestrate it all.
He's so popular in some corners, and in the corners, and if the Republicans keep gerrymandering the districts so that they elect a certain kind of candidate, he'll win again. And they're in control of everything right now, the Republicans. And they want him in office for one reason, to pepper the courts with judges that they like. And that's what he's good for. That's the only thing he's good for. They'll tell him who to put in different district courts. And then every decision they make, if it gets kicked back by any court, it'll be decided in their favor.
And as you speak, in my brain, I'm bursting into the Canadian national anthem, even the French bit.
even when I'm talking about Trump and that sort of orchestration, part of me think, do you think this whole witch hunt, he's talking about this witch hunt, is this part of a distraction? Is this distraction it's from all other distraction, shit that right? we don't see what's going on?
Yeah, all of it's distraction. That's what he did on that TV show. I mean, yeah. that's what he's always done, right? Distract people.
You know, you shake away with the left hand, but the right hand's doing all the business.
Yeah. Because we're so concerned with what Trump is doing, we're not watching. I mean, does anyone even know what the House is voting on?
No.
Or the Senate is discussing?
Because people are talking about all this crap and Sessions and firing these guys and getting rid of
I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow, slavery's back. How did that? Wow.
We weren't watching. No, Sessions, all those old God men who don't produce testosterone anymore.
It's a last.
They're so sad.
It's white people's last grab.
I just wish they'd take some testosterone replacement therapy and find a woman who's interested in what they have to say, just to get them off our fucking back. Seriously, they all. Sessions, I can't answer that question. I'm sorry. I can't. You're speaking too fast. What? Speaking too? What? That's what he told that.
But
you know what?
Canada.
We deserve. I gotta say, Trump hates Hawaii because they rejected. Look, it's all over. There's a sea full of plastic out there that's gonna choke us all to death anyway before Trump's.
Thank God.
Four years is over.
Thank. I like we were saying before we started. I have a granddaughter now, which is in a wonderful way the best thing that's ever happened to me. But in the worst possible thing because now I have to give a fuck about the next 90 years.
Yeah.
Before, I'll be out of here. You know, next 20 years tops.
Yeah.
But fuck now. This poor kid is going to be. Don't have kids. That'll be my advice to my granddaughters. Don't have kids.
Well, it's so inspirational because you see these kids during presidential campaigns, especially, or prime ministerial campaigns, and they talk to the youths on the BBC or on Sky TV or whatever. And these young people are so inspiring to fucking listen to because their very conversation, the things they discuss, and their vocabulary is so different from ours. Well, different from Mike's and mine. You're much younger than we are. But the optimism with which they speak, and the fact that they have goals, things you and I gave up on decades ago, Mike. That they
goals?
They have a perception of what their lives might be like, and their perceptions are positive. And I think, well, maybe once you and I drop dead, and all this bitterness goes underground.
Like God forbid, though, they just turn into us. Well, that would be absolutely
but that's the
horrible.
Thing. I hope for the future generations.
I do because of social media, which I know people put down a lot. But if you're a minority, and I am to a certain extent a minority, growing up with social media would have been fantastic because it's pure outreach, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
finding
people who believe and feel things you do. And that might be bad for some right-wing horrible cause.
You can also recruit.
You can.
You don't want recruits.
But if you're a 14-year-old gay guy who's getting beaten up by the fucking football team every weekend in practice, and then you go online and you meet other people that are like, you know, and suddenly you have... You're not a horrible suicidal.
I'm saying like anything. You know? Anything that pushes us forward, pushes us into communicating with one another. It's going to be great.
I think overall, it's good.
I think it's good. But it's like Richie and I were saying once about now that they say the internet. Well, they have the revolutions. It turns out no, we all hate the Jews. Like it's like that kind of thing.
Right.
You got to watch out.
It's
for
a double edged sword. But you have to keep. You have to. I think that's why. In this country, it's so inspiring. It's a double-edged sword, isn't it? The openness of the community and the culture and the safety net for people. My husband and I are both foreigners. We watch it from our kitchen window, the council block behind us. The woman who's on the ground floor used to be a hooker in our neighborhood. She married, I suppose, one of her Johns, and she just had her third kid last week. They're doing fine, and good for them. She does deal drugs out of her kitchen window. The point is...
You watch a lot of these people.
It's
rear window.
I can see it.
My flat looks... It's rear window. That's all it
is. London is rear window.
Yeah, yeah.
All of it.
Yeah.
That's how the council blocks are built. And I see that, and I think, you know, that's great that she's recovered to a certain extent. And she's a businesswoman. She's entrepreneurial.
Sure.
And she's raising three kids effectively. And, you know, in my country, it's more difficult to find and see that. But I also think, you know... That kind of openness has blinded people to a certain extent, you know, of a real equality that's not there, that people assume is there because the intent of the British is fairness. That's what they will tell you. That the thing they miss when they go to the US, if they have to live in New York or work in Los Angeles, is there a certain level of fairness that the British respect about personal space, about other people's feelings.
Because they're unarmed. Again.
There's that.
Yeah.
And so... I think we need to arm each other. I think that's what I
that's
think we
the solution.
Need to. I
think guns for everyone.
Women are too strong here. You go to Sheffield, they beat the shit out of men on the streets. It's terrifying.
I just got back from Sheffield.
You know what I mean? Like, then walking to your hotel room is so scary.
They're tough. The woman started kicked off the show.
Totally.
We were Aberdeen.
Oh.
A woman
freaked, a big woman, right?
Screamed, a big then woman. Turned and screamed at the audience. The cops came in. Oh. They put her in handcuffs. She started kicking the cops. They put her in ankle cuffs. Chucked
during
her
the
in
show.
A van during the show. People are all looking.
Is
out
this
the
at
window.
The Lemon Tree? The Lemon Tree?
No, the Breakneck Comedy.
Oh God!
And they chuck her into this van.
I love that place.
The compere is told. It tells the audience they've handcuffed her. They've ankle cuffed her.
Breakneck
and
Aberdeen.
And they've chucked her into a van. The crowd became a loving.
Nash, it was the guy who runs the show.
Yeah.
He's so nice.
It was
though.
Like we've. It's like we took the cancer out, and the room was a loving. I've never seen a room turn so
they
from hell.
Ankle cuffed her.
They ankle cuffed her. Chucked her face first into a van. They drove out. And once the audience found out this is what happened to her, it was the best gig
this is the
I've
problem.
Done in
you
a long
see,
time.
You got to bring in guns. You got to have guns.
Everyone's got to be packing heat.
Yeah. So speaking of audience interruptions, then, have you watched, they've been doing that Julius Caesar play in New York.
Yes.
And they portray Julius Caesar as Donald Trump.
Well, yes. No, yes.
It's the one they've been doing in Central Park, right?
Yes.
And they've had lots of right-wing protesters yes. streaming
Not just right-wing.
Lots of protesters.
Lots of artists and actors going on the New York Times website saying they did go over the line, I think. Can you fucking believe it? But I think it's a great thing, isn't it? That theater promotes conversation and controversy.
But
that's what it's supposed to do.
It's not the first time we've substituted different plays and different characters.
And how about when they did it 7 years ago and they had a black Julius Caesar and it was obviously meant to be Obama? No one screamed about that.
No,
yeah, I just,
it's right wing fundamentalism.
I just like the fact that burning presidents in effigy. What they've done that forever. Why is Trump such a suck? That's my point.
You think
he can't take a joke?
I swear to God, he can't take the criticism. He seems so rough when he's destroying people's lives.
Exactly. But when he says to, I'm the worstly treated president over Kennedy and fucking McKinley, you weird motherfucker.
Yeah, I think if you'll turn in that photo, you'll see his brains on her lapel. So I think he might have been treated worse than you, maybe. Right? You know,
He's the lowest we can go. He's the lowest.
And watching him makes me feel dirty. But I have to say, because I'm being paid, that I've seen other people of his economic status. I've spent time around them because we both have, because we all have, because we're comics and we meet people like that in the business. Mm-hmm. And do you ever leave
corporates.
A room at corporates or people that are producing you or that seem gracious in some ways, but you leave the room and you feel after an hour you feel a bit dirty, right? You
think
that person's disgusting. That person's to get to where they are. They've destroyed a lot of lives.
That's right. Well, when I walk by homeless people now, or don't buy a big issue, I know in my heart of hearts, I'm trumping them.
Yeah.
I'm being a Trump.
Yeah.
We're all Trumps.
Yeah,
we all have that little Trump. I didn't want him to get that big, and he's become that big.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the monster we created.
Yes,
I was at the dinner
he's
party.
He's a goy. What's the Jew? The Jews had that big clay monster.
But like, I've gone to dinner parties where someone's turned to me and said, property developers, a big deal in California, and they've said, well, you know what black people like? We can't rent to them because their brains are too small.
Oh. Well,
and then he said, anything south of the equator, forget about it. My husband, by the way, is Brazilian, sitting right next to me. And Essen just grabbed my leg, said, Decapro, don't say anything. I said, and then this guy said, well, Brazil, they're okay. Really?
Well, as long as you have levels.
Yeah.
Well, there was their doctor in Quebec who said the reason blacks are so good at basketball isn't because they're trying harder to get the fuck out of the ghetto, is they have an extra length of muscle in their ankles. He's a scientist.
Well,
that's Jimmy
they have said that people of African origin have a stronger DNA because the culture's been around longer. And there is something to be said for Kenyan runners, how they do it. I have no fucking idea. But the point is, it's so strange.
Look, it's bad science.
You
don't measure people's heads anymore.
That Welsh politician that was saying we need to measure people's teeth when they're from Syria to make sure they're kids, that was just a couple months ago.
Is that a real thing?
He's an MP from Wales.
Because they were saying that there was like 28-year-old men claiming to be 12.
Who cares? They're being blown up. Let them in. These are people whose lives have been destroyed. But anyway, maybe that's happened once or twice. But measuring the teeth is out of Hitler's handbook. You can't. Oh, you can't use science against people when they're
down and out.
Yeah. Oh, kick them in the ribs.
So
Jesus.
One of the things that we see on social media and you see in the news is the sort of in the States, more sort of public confrontations between the right wing and the left wing, and like Berkeley, and physical violence, like people attacking
brought
each other
on by the left wing, actually.
And so what's the solution in this? Because it never really happened during Obama. It was never this sort of pronounced
right.
Plague. Sorry, I always jump to play.
You know, it's just, yeah, you're right, it's happened a couple times in Berkeley, and I think recently, once with Milo, however you pronounce his last name, who I've met, who's lovely and gay, and it's all an act, by the way. It's all an act.
Good for him.
Yeah, he's a clown. And I think, like Trump, who's a performer, and I think that, for one thing, I think the left tends to lack a sense of humor sometimes, but also, I think telling people that they can't speak is as bad as right-wing people telling you that you're going to jail for what you said. It's the same thing. You have to let these people come to college campuses and let students make up their own minds.
Well, the right hates the smugness of the left. Because the left, or, you know, when you're posing as a left, because most people are posing as left, and you know in their heart of hearts they're cruel fuckers. but there is a smugness to the left that I think was done beautiful in South Park.
Yeah.
But you know, just like I'm part of the solution, not part of the problem.
Yeah.
Like that you would just want to pop anyone that says that.
Well, this last woman who a journalist, if you could call it that, who had planned speech, I guess, last month or in April, maybe, at Berkeley, and then they pulled it the last minute because of her right-wing political beliefs. The thing is, she's on TV in front of 350 million people every week, so you're not gonna drown out her message.
No.
And also, I would like to go to that. I'd like to hear what she had to say, because you need to listen to what the enemies are saying to you, and you need to have a strategy. And also, you need to see if what any of what she says, as educated as she is and erudite and traveled, if any of it is at all valid.
That's, yeah.
Because
that's,
she may...
Like a Buckley. You get worried, but aren't you worried
that's the thing is Buckley...
You delight your inner Buckley.
That's what I'm thinking of in my head is Buckley with Gore Vidal. Yeah, and Vidal was wrong sometimes, too.
Yeah. But at least they listened. They wanted to kill each other.
Great TV. Yeah. You have to have... There has to be frisson. That's what the political system... A good one is bred on is disagreements. People have to hash things out.
Well, that's what I think. A lot of that is reflected in blocking on the computer, on Twitter now. Like that people now think they're published when they just write their opinion, because there has to be a healthy, you know, shut up and listen.
Yeah,
there has to be a healthy back and forth,
a discourse,
that much anymore. They just throw it out and then run away.
And
it's like idea bombs, they just throw them out. They don't wait to listen to whatever happens.
Now that we've got this, and particularly it's interesting for me that it happened in universities. That universities are now banning thought, and they're banning certain people.
They're creating safe spaces where you can go.
So should a university not be a place where you should be able to throw it all down? Is this not a place of free thought?
Yeah, it should be.
Should you not be able to bring the most controversial people? Should you not be able to bring Bill Cosby in and go, hey?
And as it turns out, right, mistrial. Yeah. I think...
Oh, because he is fine. He's
all right.
He's America's father.
Yeah.
Speaking about a guy with a hit list, this guy's coming at you.
But it's comics. You always, as a comic, and I'm sure we all have heard, when we were starting out, there was always these stories about him, but you didn't. You just thought it was. I always thought it was just jealous comedians
and racism.
But I always heard it.
First live performer I saw when I was 9 years old. My mom took me to see him at the Circle Star Theater in San Carlos, south of San Francisco. Big circular theater, and he stood in the center of the stage and turned very slowly. And he did an hour and a half. I was 9 years old. Inspiring. Incredible performer.
I've seen him before. I did a two-hour set. It blew me away. It was amazing.
I saw Robert Klein on a revolving stage at Ontario Place. He walked on the edge very slowly in the opposite way and said, if Einstein's correct, I'll live forever. And I remember I was a kid thinking, well, that's the funniest remark ever.
I love her.
We were talking about this sort of funny last week about Kathy Griffin and the whole Trump mask. Was that for comedy or was that for shock?
She shouldn't have doubled back on it. She should have just gone forward, said, yeah, I fucked about him, and yeah, I'm going to cut off his other head. He's a monster. He's got three. I'm cutting them all off.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean,
why apologize?
I know he
meant something.
And like, yes, you've started something. Now keep going.
Yeah.
And like we discussed earlier, he's just a performer, and she makes fun of performers in her act all the time. That's her bread and butter. So keep going with it, babe. Of course, CNN cut her. As a sponsor, but she must have known when she did that there'd be
some fallout. Yeah, you would have to know that something like that there was going to be.
She's a smart
woman. And if you haven't, then you're an idiot.
Yes, and she's much too smart for that. She's been around for too long. And I was really surprised to see her cry on TV and beg for her position back as a D-list celebrity.
That unfortunately brings out her more true colors. that she's just a desperate celebrity and wasn't making a point whatsoever.
Which is part of her appeal, actually.
As being a desperate celebrity? Well, that's part of her shtick. I don't know if that's her appeal.
Well, that's her shtick. That's how she fills theaters.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think when she started to say, I just want that young gay man in Topeka, Kansas to know that there's a voice. When she started to, like, you know, try to own some sort of community that doesn't really require her support, we're doing fine. That's when I thought,
if you need...
Yeah, if you need Kathy Griffin.
She's slipped and flopped before. First she was apologetic, then she's vigilant, now she's apologetic again and vigilant again.
Yeah, you know, I think that the
Margaret Cho and I are still working around the clock for all our friends.
You know, I love Margaret, and one thing she doesn't backpedal. Margaret doesn't. I've seen her live do it, and I've seen her on video on YouTube do it not too long ago, where she came out and started discussing transgender in front of an audience somewhere. And they were demanding the money back. You probably have this went viral. And she's like, you're not getting your fucking money back. And she just went on with it. And my husband, who's a good friend of hers, and I were home watching it on YouTube thinking, oh, Mark, you know, scared watching it on video months later. Look, the thing is, stand-up is meant to piss people off. Yeah. If they're not shaking by the end of the show, they didn't get their money's worth. If you are a stand-up comic, then embrace that. Or if you're a type of performer that doesn't want to make people angry, if you're that kind of comic, then that's fine. But Kathy Griffin... Is that
I'm a blue comic, and I always, when people hate me, I totally understand why.
I know.
I'm not going to give their money back, and I'm not going to change my act for them, because your option is get out.
That's what the exit door is for.
Out.
Yeah, exactly. It's a live performance.
And I will not get mad at you. No. I will not engage with you. It's when Tim Nutt does that thing. I ordered the human shit sandwich, and it tastes like human shit. Well, it says right there, the human shit. Well, why'd you eat it all? And I love that, but that makes so much sense. Why did you eat it all? You ordered a human shit sandwich, it tastes like human shit, and you ate it all.
So human shit sandwich is Trump, when we talk about that then in this sort of context. He doesn't give a fuck. Is he the same way as a comic in a way?
He sees it's working.
Yeah.
It's working.
The more brash he is, the more stuff that he does to push back,
any racist. He talks amongst his own, and his own love him.
He's a race baiter the way Reagan was, and it worked for Reagan. I think that's what he's building his campaign and his presidency on others.
Yeah.
And he really uses Reagan as an inspiration. And when Reagan took the first when they accept the presidential nomination, the first time he took it, he was in the South. Oh, he was somewhere like called Lynchburg, Mississippi or something. And he put his feet in the mud. He took his shoes off and said, I'm putting my feet in the mud to tell people. It was a way of expressing to those racists listening to him that they knew that he was on the side of the white people.
Oh, okay.
And Trump is a race baiter. And he structured his campaign after Reagan's.
Great again is white again.
Yeah.
Like America great again.
That's what
means,
he means.
Means when blacks didn't have a vote.
When people knew their role.
And everything but taxing the rich.
Yeah, right.
And
everyone knew their place, and the rich were here, and the blacks were here, and everybody else was invisible. That's what he's...
But he does have a popularity amongst black voters, so why do you think then?
You're right. When I was in D.C. right after the election, these two black people were in the hotel, said they both voted for him. They said because of the border.
Yeah.
We got to build that wall.
I met a lot of black support from him when I was in the States. And you know, they were just like, to them, the people I talked to, it was because he was honest. He was forthright, and they just said, we watched him on TV, we're tired. We're tired of it. We want someone to stand up, and he's bombastic.
But didn't he also say, vote for me, why not, when it came to the black vote in America?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it can't go any worse.
Don't you want the president to be smarter than you, though?
See, that's what I don't get at all. That's right across the first world. Is when did it get all so fucking stupid? When did people look down at intelligent people and call them elitists, people that are... You should learn off intelligent people.
Oh, scientists and their figures.
I know.
Their percentages.
I know. I don't understand this disrespect to actual people that know how things work. Like, if you've ever sat down with an engineer, you know within minutes you're a fool. You know,
anyone that has a real job that can build
that's
something.
That's right. How do you no one disrespects a carpenter.
well, let's talk about another issue.
Didn't want to piss on carpenters.
You bring up Jesus every time.
I'm a real Christian inside, somewhere deep down inside this butter covered heart.
A Christian's been way inside of you. I can tell. Oh. Yeah, I know.
Let's talk Cuba then. So Obama created this abilities that establish relations between America and Cuba. Trump is reversing that, saying that he doesn't want to give money to the Castro regime. He wants to help them out, but he wants to give money to the people.
He's leaving the flights alone. You can still fly in and out, though. He's not. He's
but
not
he doesn't want single trips.
He's just. He's just. He's just going over every. He's covering every detail of Barack's work and fucking it.
Obama didn't lift the embargo, though, in Cuba. So Obama started.
Yeah.
And I think he'd hoped the next administration would continue.
Yeah. I remember during Reagan's time, one of the governors wanted to sue Canada. Because we deal with them on a financial basis. We've never Trudeau. There's a picture of Fidel Castro holding baby Justin Trudeau, like his father and Castro. He came to Canada for Pierre Trudeau's funeral.
Yeah,
like if you go to Cuba on holiday, all you see are Canadian beer tents.
Canadians and Germans all over the place. Yeah. Right. It's Canadian Germans doing a lot of
business
down there.
We don't want America to get along with Cuba at all, because then the prices are going to go up.
Apparently, a lot of Americans are buying Mexican passports right now because they're thinking, I don't need this shit for another 7 years.
There's an influx of them coming up north.
Americans in Canada, too, I would assume. Yeah,
Walked through the border in Manitoba since
the Vietnam War.
Unfortunately, though, a lot of people have been walking the border up in Canada, and they tried to do it in the wintertime.
And they've lost their fingers. They've lost their fingers.
One less finger, a bigger apartment, right?
That's right. That's what we have. We have a big thing in Canada. If you have no fingers, come on in. They're not going to steal stuff.
And they're definitely not going to hitchhike.
Oh, that's how I got started. Those are the days.
Do you think it's because Marco Rubio, and he's getting all those guys all riled up in this, and the sort of, let's fight back for real Cuba.
Did you see that photo of him signing that ridiculous Cuba decision last week?
There's a
woman, probably a nightmare, some rich Cuban that hates everybody else. And then you can see Rubio's little ghost-like face behind him with this menacing downward, I just want to eat Trump's head off, but I have to be here. Oh, Rubio hates him so much, but has to play along. You know, that's the thing. When governments choose which other governments to respect or to invite in or whatever, they're all this. They're all
but it doesn't
menacing,
it take,
horrible.
Let's just go by Watergate and Nixon. Doesn't it take six? It takes 6 years before a Republican will go, okay, he's an asshole. All right, let's get rid of him. All right, it's going to cost us a few years.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's turn on the leader.
I guess.
I think it's six.
But I think they like him because he's a puppet. I really think that's what they think. I think they like. I think they
so,
think
like,
Trump
like
is
a
malleable.
Reagan. Like he's just exactly. Reagan at least gave it all to his people. I don't think
that's
Trump
the thing.
Gives
Reagan
it all up.
He was demented for his last 4 years. For the second term of his presidency, Reagan was in bed. So all the people that had been running it before, running it after, and that's what they think
about
Trump.
It was Bush Sr. You could tell in the last 4 years it was Bush Sr. running that.
I mean, Obama was a grassroots organizer, and I think that he had a lot of hands-on in his administration. But no one really knows who runs policy. And when people say, oh, we did so well under Clinton, Clinton didn't run economic policy. Look what the state he'd come from. It's one of the poorest states in the Union.
It's Arkansas, correct?
Right? Yeah, it's horrible there.
He just sort of rolled on with his
lucky.
Tech wave
he got
and
lucky.
Property. And I mean, there's still, with Trump talking about the witch hunt and everything, and it's still going circling back. How come we're not looking at Hillary? How come we're not investigating this? I mean, I think we were talking about it last
only
week.
So much resources, right? Only so many enemies you can have.
But he is forgetting that in that scenario, the witch is the innocent person. Like, if you look back at the burning of witches.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ones that were, yeah.
But they haven't found anything he's guilty of. You know, they say.
Well, he said, apparently, is he or not under investigation?
They say he's
really
not.
Know.
His lawyer
says he is.
He says he is, right?
He says he is.
His worst enemy there.
Right, right. Yeah.
Well, that's what they're also saying, is his tweets can actually, if they go through all his tweets, like anything with Watergate, and then you start with something small and it turns into something way different.
Yeah, yeah.
And with this, the sort of wondering is, if you start this investigation into Russia, into these, where does it lead you? Which rabbit holes
Well, he's
pop
obviously,
up?
He's declared bankruptcy how many times? As a business person.
He's never paid his lawyers.
Right, and many failings in Russia. And what he's had to do to get these copyrights in China, he's not the best business person. Arguably, you could say he's self-destructive. And I assume that if it's left to him, he'll just kind of fizzle out in the White House and people will stop listening to this madman. I mean, he's kind of King George.
It's already happening
now.
I think a lot of his supporters, and I think I read an article today that was saying a lot of his supporters who are watching every move are just like, meh, you know, and it's a combination of He's not doing what he's saying was going to do. He's not doing what he's saying he's going to do because the system is against him. Mm. And I think there's a lot of people sort of slowly falling by the wayside.
And the Washington Post, they're covering the morale in the White House recently, and they said that it's very, very low. Because his staff, whether they agree or disagree with him, they start these projects, you know, what they should be focusing on. And then a few days later, he'll tweet something else, and then that will all go to the wayside, all their work. Mm-hmm. They're exhausted, and they feel like they're never going to get anything
done. I heard when he first came in, like, he didn't know this until Barack told him, no, you need your own staff.
Yeah, they didn't know.
Yeah.
Well, these are people that have never served public office. A lot of people working with him had been. Steve Brand has never served
public
office.
Well, Reagan, first thing he wanted to know was, where's the war room? I said, we don't have a war room. But he's from Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah, in the movie.
I saw it. There's a war room. So where's that?
It's weird.
It's in Hollywood.
For the guy who was a governor of California, that he would at least know some of that.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, I think that, like you said, a lot of people, what they found refreshing was that Trump didn't have political experience. But now we see that, as a president, it might have been helpful.
But yeah. Mencken, about 100 years ago, wrote that, because of democracy, the way it works, every so often you get Joe Average.
Yeah.
And that's the big that's the unfortunate side of democracy. We're paying for democracy right now.
Yes, yeah, because I understand that.
Some guy of average intelligence, below average intelligence, let's hope, no, it's average. He's probably smarter than most. Sad. He's a smart idiot.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
who we've,
yeah.
That's who's running the world right now. Just a smart idiot.
I mean, you know, it would be nice, as I think the power and the control of the UK and the US kind of fail at the same time and diminish, and the world stops looking toward those countries for progressive politics or for future trends, which is happening right now. I think that's part of the pain that those two countries
are feeling. Well, Justin Trudeau is eating it up, because there article after article now, will the Prime Minister of Canada be the voice of the new world? And he's loving it because he's a good-looking young guy. He doesn't do anything.
No, he
doesn't.
Yeah, there's lots of natives dying, but where'd he go?
He is like a Barack Obama, but a Canadian one. He's doing nothing, but he looks great.
Oh, those trousers, oh, those, that shot of his ass. But see? I also think that the rest of the world looks at the UK and laughs now. I think the UK's become a bit of a joke.
Why? I think it has. In particular, or just everything that's been happening?
Well,
lately?
You could, because in a way, whatever political strife they're going through right now, and it is a problem, you could say the Conservatives have created it themselves. There was a different way to deal with whatever you call Brexit, whatever it's going to be, and we still won't know for years.
Yes.
And there was a more, I think, a diplomatic way of dealing with your neighbors that would have been more productive, I think, instead of this. I don't think they shouldn't have let the public vote on this referendum. I think Cameron was a fool. We all know that now.
And you shouldn't make it a 51-40.
No,
you
know, the whole thing.
Well, I think it hit everyone so quickly. Yes. It's like breaking up someone by text, and you're just like, oh fuck, what have I done? And it's like, you asshole, you broke up my text.
And the question was a yes or no on a very complicated situation.
Yeah.
I think what's happening now is the rest of the world looks at Britain and says, you've done this to yourselves, and you think you're going to get a good deal. You know, these tariffs and these contracts they're going to have to discuss starting today, apparently, there's very little wiggle room in them.
No.
They're very standard trade negotiations that you can get a little bit here, a little bit there, but you're not going to get a good or a bad or any sort of different deal than you might have had before. So what it might be is you're paying a lot more to be in the same group than you were paying before to get the same rights.
And this is all basically was a fear campaign. When you saw that one about, you know, that lineup of refugees.
Yes. Brown and when people. They were brown people.
And when you see, uh-oh, you know, that's what it is. And Brexiters don't like saying it, but it's about we're afraid of brown people coming over.
But, or the Polish. They're afraid of any immigrants coming over, taking jobs from them. But
jobs that they don't want.
And London, the unemployment's below 4%. There is no unemployment in London. If you want a job, you can have it.
Yeah.
So I think what they're talking about is the you know, David Davies has said,
rich people are going to have to say goodbye to their help.
Well,
now, you know,
they're going to be the help.
You've been so good, Helen.
Yeah.
And we're so sorry to see you go back to your war-torn country.
And I think what David Davies is saying is I find it hard to believe that the British will not pick up these jobs where immigrants have left off. Oh, you do? Really? Do you want an Oxbridge graduate making your cappuccino? Because I can't afford that cappuccino myself.
Yeah.
I can't afford those grapes or that salmon. I can't afford any of that. So it seemed to be working kind of well, is how the rest of the world looks on it, whether it was or not. I think that it kind of was. And now they've created this cesspool
for
themselves.
Can London just turn into its own country?
That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
They're asking for visas the way some Canadian cities have.
Right.
If the Labour Party in London, which did so well in that election recently, if they would pull their strength together and say, look how strong we are right now, we can go to this Brexit government and say, look, You want one third of the tax revenue in this country? You want it as effective as it is now? You have to give us a little something. Because all these other places, like Wales, all these cunts from other places in the UK, the Northern Irish are saying, well, we want this concession.
Oh, that's
or these
insane.
Farmers in Anglia are saying, we want this compromise. Why doesn't London go to them and say, well, give them a special visa where they're just brought in and sent home whenever they want to go, the way it is now? Otherwise, you are fucking London. It's over. It's, oh.
Well, I'm not coming back.
And you,
the
you
DUP, I didn't know they spelled cunt differently in Belfast. I just think, how can you associate yourselves?
The Tories have to make a contract with the Northern Irish.
The Tories seem liberal compared to them. They want that letter she wrote to the Scottish about gay marriage. I mean, I know these are marriage equality. I know these things don't mean much to an English person because they take them for granted now, that that's just a right. But you can't take civil rights for granted ever.
I just find it funny that they regard marriage, anyone regards marriage with this kind of sanctity.
Yeah.
Like, look at marriage.
Yeah.
Look at the world. People that get married, that no one
It's like a driver's license. How's it any different?
I don't understand this connection between why it's a heterosexual. It's art. It's like the N-word. We can only do it.
Yeah. Well, if I want to marry a dog, well, then go for it. Yeah. I don't care. Marry
if the
goat,
dog
marry,
says yes.
Marry a unicorn. Dog, yeah, the dogs.
Don't rape a dog. Get engaged. Get engaged. Take the dog out.
Good
walk,
advice from
walk.
Mike. Don't rape a dog.
If you remember anything from the
dog.
Show, don't rape the dog.
Don't rape the dog.
The other thing I was going to talk about is you see the gay guy that posed with Trump with a fan?
Yes.
Did you see that? What did you think of it? Because he planned the whole thing. It was quite sweet. Mm-hmm. He was up there and they said, don't use the fan. Mm. Don't use the fan. He says, Trump, can I use the fan? Yeah, go ahead. You know? And he does.
You know, there's that famous quote of Trump walking through the White House or walking through his own house in his apartment in New York saying reporters there. And they'd asked him about abortion. He said, with his back to them as he's walking to the toilet, I don't give a shit about abortion. It doesn't affect me. Right. No. I don't think Trump cares about gay people, or he's a New Yorker.
He's a New Yorker.
Yeah, I was about to say he said something along the lines, "I'm a New Yorker."
Yeah,
he doesn't care.
Yeah, I don't.
It's all populist bullshit.
And I'm sure with his kids, Ivanka's pretty progressive. I'm sure with her circles and the kids that they went,
they're surrounded by queers. She's made over every day by five or six screaming queens with eye makeup on themselves.
We should all be.
Yes.
I was in a TV show on very sadly too briefly, but I had.
But man, you look good.
I had three or four gay guys every day making me beautiful every day, and the bitching and the moaning was wonderful.
Fantastic.
Every breakfast was great.
If we could just bring over some like European gays. That are like cheap labor to remake over everyone here in London. I think we'd be.
They're already here, believe me.
Are they already doing it? Oh my gosh!
I mean, when you go to like Doha to those gigs, all the guys working in the hotel are Syrian hairdressers, and they look fantastic, by the way. And if you let them, you will get the best 90-minute gossip spiel and haircut because the wives of all these rich oil men. Tell these Syrian hairdressers everything. They know all the gossip. It's hilarious.
They're like psychiatrists. It's like a bartender.
Yeah.
You're forced to spend time with someone.
And
it's
their
a
knowledge
bit
of,
more of a time where you're trusting them with scissors.
But their knowledge of French literature from the 18th century and classical music is intense, too. They can talk about anything. It's incredible. And you see these people and you think, you know, rich people are surrounded by all sorts of people. So when they say all these things about that person, this person, they're just trying to speak to a lowest common denominator, which they think is the mass public. I mean, they do think that we're all scum and shit, and they talk to us like we're retarded, and they think that's a way to control us. And apparently, it's working.
I find that with the middle class, the way they look and talk to you. A friend of mine has a place near Shepherd's Bush.
You mean middle class in the UK?
Yeah. When they talk, sometimes they go, oh look, it talks back. Isn't that lovely? They're almost smiling.
You
like
know,
they're
funny.
Like
you're a dog or
like a chimp.
Yeah. When I first came over here, and I would take a taxi with a middle class comic, and I'd hear the way they speak to the taxi driver, I was embarrassed.
I
would
know
blush.
What you mean. Yeah. I've been in that
like,
scenario as well.
Who talks to people that way? And they think they're being polite, and what they're actually being is incredibly patronizing and actually menacing and mean from the
back. We first came over, remember Arj Barker and I were roommates, just on the other side of the river, just south of the river. And the comments that middle class would say about people on that other side, almost with a pity in their voice, like, oh, they don't have much.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a pretty funky neighborhood. It was a great neighborhood.
Yeah.
But no.
No, you know, I think it's strange here, you know, and in the U.S. too. I think
when you grew up in North America, as we all did, we were told there was no longer a class system in
Britain. The disparity of wealth is greater now, and there is clearly a class system. And people in the middle class are scrambling to appear upper middle class because they know that the middle class is by American standards at least, is diminished greatly.
Well, because you don't really see, unlike here where the neighborhoods are, you know, integrated.
Yeah.
In North America, you don't see behind those gates. You don't see up that long driveway.
True. A lot of things are privatized in California.
And
it's
everything
true.
You start seeing, when I was down in Florida, you're like, oh, that's a shithole. What the hell's back there? Oh, that's where the nice people live.
Yeah.
Or not so nice.
And people take it for granted in the U.S. But it's strange, you know, when Hillary is running for president, I remember both times watching her, and she would go on and on about the middle classes. We need to help and support the middle class growth and strength. And every time they would do it, I would think, what about the working class? Why aren't you mentioning them ever? And it was as if they assumed the working classes would vote Democrat. They presumed so much about them.
Yes.
Which is a lot of Trump's rise. Because the working classes knew that they were expected to uphold the system that wasn't serving them at all.
And they're not being replaced by foreigners. They're being replaced by machines.
They are. And they think that their jobs can be reproduced from the old days, from the old times.
Yes.
But they won't. And what they need to do is re-educate themselves. They need a system or a governmental system that will come in and say, here's this program, here's this, you know, follow this course.
But they'll never go to education, and that includes Canada. They'll never point their finger and say, why don't we educate our children better? Like within Canada, we've always had trouble with the French and English. If they made all the English go to French immersion school and all the French go to English immersion school, the problem in one generation of humans would be gone away. But they you can't do anything in 4 years in your country, 6 years in ours.
Yeah.
What the fuck can you do?
Yeah.
Nothing. And Trump is proving that even 8 years of Barack, the dick can come in and just erase every checkpoint. So for that was nothing. That turned it into nothing.
Yeah. He's actually done very little, actually. But some of the high profile stuff is quite alarming. But the Muslim ban didn't work and the Obamacare thing didn't work. So I think
I like that part.
Yeah.
And particularly now that you've since you've started it a bit, you realize the price you're going to have to pay if you go back.
Well,
people are now finally realizing it's
civil
life
war.
And death.
I think
it's
what he's creating is a lot of angst amongst people, amongst the citizenry. I think the higher echelon group of people, their lives are never affected by who's in presidential office anyway. Really, really, people don't give a shit who wins that office. They'll be fine.
Yeah, they don't care as long as it doesn't affect their money. Yeah.
And it won't.
As long as no one names them.
Right. But people, they want to maintain their anonymity to a certain extent. But people like us, whose lives it does affect, we see the violence it's creating. Because it gives credence to people, to that dark voice in people's heads.
There's going to be blood in the streets in this country.
Well, there is that 17-year-old girl in Virginia was murdered. I guess it was two nights ago, walking home from Ramadan, and this guy had a baseball bat and bashed her brains and dumped her in a swamp. And I can't help but think, where does that sort of credence in his head come from? Where does he get that voice when he's never done this before that says kill her because she's dressed that way? I don't know. It comes from social media.
I want to be the best Nazi. Like
Trump said, I can kill someone and still win office. When you say that to an American populace who's already anxious and who own more guns than people on the streets, you're creating
potential war. He doesn't give a fuck. There's a fire behind him.
Do you think then it's...
I wonder what
he'll
sound like roasting him.
we're building this up to this sort of greater sort of separation between this 1%, and we're talking about this sort of violence. And in history of humanity would teach us that, yes, in times of great sort of strife between people, that we will have either a revolution or a war or a disease or something like that. Do you see, you know, is this something to come to a head, or are we just hoping the aliens show up?
I think what will happen...
Oh, the aliens won't now.
What will happen, though, is other governments and other cult groups will see there's a weakness in the structure. There's no one's at the helm right now.
Well, most countries of revolution have been torn down by themselves. I mean, countries you look at Rome and a lot of these big empires, it was taken down from themselves, from inside, not from the outside.
And they run out of natural resources, or they run out of troops, or the troops change, you know, allegiances. You're right.
Or what about states? Do you think there could be states problems? Do you think California or other states could go, you know what, fuck it, we're fracking, we don't need you guys, we're not putting any more money. You get like a wild card kind of...
I hate what that might create, though, which is a martyr, like they did with Lincoln, who is quite right-wing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he almost destroyed the country by trying to save it. I don't know what would happen now. I don't know.
This is when I go back into Canada in my head.
When I'm in California and I see the new trend in the Bay Area, at least in San Francisco and the surrounding areas, is to keep a gun in your car, in the glove compartment. And so that's why cars are being carjacked now, not for the car, because anyone can buy a car in the U.S.
Right.
They want the gun in there.
Unlicensed gun or a gun that's not enough.
The gun's a license.
Yeah, license, yeah, but not with Don to you.
Not,
yeah,
not with whoever steals it.
Yeah. They want the ammo.
Well, that's that's unfortunate. So I'll ask the last question before we get out. You, and we sort of talked about earlier, you think Trump reelected, he'll be in for a full 8?
Yeah, I think. Or unless he changes that and is in for a full 16. You never know, right?
Well, now I have no air.
No?
Now there's no air in the room.
Maybe he can...
There, really, I'm fucked. Still, we're not heading towards Star Trek at all.
Oh.
All I'm seeing is Snake Plissken in my head. Fuck.
It's over. It's over. Hug your granddaughter for the last time.
Yeah.
Well, start singing O Canada. Guys, thanks a lot for joining us. Thanks a lot for another episode of Scrotus Potus, and have you guys back again. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.